Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views from cities, towns, and countrysides of Western Michigan as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The summer celebration season in Western Michigan is still on. White Pigeon and Coloma were the scenes of festivals this weekend, while Athens, Augusta, and the city of Lakeview were among the towns holding homecoming days. Scheduled for this coming week is the 101st annual Calhoun County Fair at Marshall. We hope to bring you a broadcast from that fair at 5 o'clock next Wednesday afternoon. One of the most colorful of the celebrations of the season is the annual Gladiolus Festival, which ends today in the town of Coloma. The events in Coloma lasted all day on Saturday. Although there was a full schedule of events, the Coloma Courier suggested that visitors spend their spare moments driving around the town to see the glads in bloom in the fields. If the visitors didn't find time to drive around, they had only to head for the Coloma School Building, where a huge exhibition of the beautiful blossoms was held both yesterday and today. Last night, a historical pageant was held under the lights at the high school field in Coloma, with a large crowd in attendance. The pageant traced the history of Coloma from the very beginning. By the way, the committee in charge of the event sprayed the field with DDT shortly before the program was scheduled to start, and the noticeable lack of mosquitoes greatly added to the comfort of the crowd. Today is designated as Pawpaw Lakes Day, which means that the celebration will not only include Coloma, but all of the area around Pawpaw Lake as well. This afternoon, boat races were being held on the lake, and a model airplane contest is scheduled at one of the resorts. The Coloma Courier went all out for the occasion with a brilliant banner headline in red ink, welcoming the visitors. In addition, a large number of pictures in the Courier traced the activities of Queen Lois Butler on her trip to the Chicago Railroad Fair to represent Coloma on Michigan Day. The White Pigeon Day celebration is still underway in White Pigeon to the south of Kalamazoo. This two-day festival marks the 120th anniversary of the founding of White Pigeon. It got started on Saturday morning with memorial services at the grave of Chief White Pigeon, for whom the town was named. A long parade and a historical pageant were held Saturday evening, while a barbecue and a community sing will top off the activities this evening. You may have heard our broadcast of the historical pageant at the White Pigeon celebration, which was on the air earlier this afternoon. The Calhoun County Fair is to be held in Marshall from Tuesday through Saturday this coming week, and it's advertised as Michigan's oldest county fair. The 1949 show will be the 101st exhibition. The Calhoun County Fair has missed only a few years since its founding over a century ago. More than $30,000 worth of premiums and prizes are going to be given away at the Marshall Fair before Saturday night. While the summer season is still in full swing, the first signs of autumn appeared in the newspapers last week. In many towns in Western Michigan, announcements have appeared in the papers concerning school registration. While the registration dates vary from town to town, most of the schools will actually open on Tuesday, September 6th, the day after Labor Day. The hometown newspapers are also liberally sprinkled with news of preschool teachers' conferences and news of appointments to new positions. For instance, among the newcomers in the Belding school system is Fred E. Strong, who was named superintendent of schools there last week. Mr. Strong was released from a similar position at Imlay City to take the Belding job. He formerly was located at Eau Claire and Cassopolis in Western Michigan, according to the Belding Banner News. Another sure sign of the approach of fall weather is the appearance of football schedules and information. Small towns in Western Michigan are very proud of the doings of their high school gridders, and it's interesting to note that at least 40 schools will have lighted fields to play on this fall, in many cases the result of work by some civic-minded group interested in youth welfare. The papers last week carried a great many articles asking the boys of the communities to turn out for physical examinations and the issuance of uniforms. Michigan high school regulations, you know, prohibit the holding of practice prior to the 29th of August. But it's permissible to take care of all the preliminary details prior to that date so the boys can really get down to work when the 29th of August rolls around. The Rockford Register carried the news last week that Clinton Brown, who has been in the Rockford school system for 1 year, will become head football coach there this fall. Brown came to Rockford following his graduation from Western Michigan College here in Kalamazoo in the spring of 1948. He succeeds Gerald Fox, who earned an enviable reputation in Western Michigan as a successful coach. Mr. Fox will become athletic director. Newaygo, a usually quiet little town north of Grand Rapids, had just about all the excitement it needed last week. A Newaygo man, disappointed in love, shot the girl who spurned him and then went to his brother's home to tell him what had happened. The brother called the police and the would-be killer was cornered on a farm near the town, says the Newaygo Republican. After an exchange of gunfire, the crazed man, Harry Stevens, was captured and brought to jail to await trial on an assault charge. The Newaygo Republican reported that the victim of his attack is in a serious condition in a Grand Rapids hospital. Well, now let's take a look at some of the lighter items in the news. The people down in Centerville have an issue to settle with the post office department these days. They want to know why it is that mail that's directed to the town of Centerville goes instead to Center Line near Detroit before coming to Centerville. The good people of Centerville have a feeling that their town is famous enough so that the post office ought not to make that mistake right along. According to the Centerville Observer, two local citizens made a trip to Washington recently to see if Representative Claire Hoffman could do anything about it. Center Line, by the way, is situated just north of Detroit, and the mail is usually delayed about 2 days by the mix-ups. James E. Smith, who lives near Sand Lake, north of Grand Rapids, is an unhappy man these days. Smith's dream of wealth from an oil well has turned into a nightmare since he discovered that he has been cultivating the wrong tract of land. Here's the story as told in the Greenville Daily News. Smith has been growing pickles on a piece of land, and then oil was discovered on it, and Smith thought he would be rich. However, the news came out then, when they got to searching the records, that Mr. Smith had made a mistake. He was on land that belonged to the county. And so it's been arranged that Mr. Smith can keep his pickle crop in his home, but Kent County will reap the benefits from the oil well. The Lake Odessa Wave wants people to advertise in its columns, and it wants people to patronize those advertisers. At least that's the impression you'd get from looking at last week's copy of the Lake Odessa Wave. Two entire pages, regular newspaper size, carry no other words except in large type the words, advertise in the Wave and buy from Wave advertisers. These words are in type about 3 inches tall and occupy 2 pages of an 8-page paper. At any rate, people should get the idea without too much searching through the paper. Incidentally, I'd like to know where that name, Lake Odessa Wave, came from. It's certainly an interesting name for a newspaper. The Charlotte Republican Tribune tells about an automobile accident that kept things from getting too dull in the village of Potterville last week. A huge semi-trailer truck went out of control in Potterville the other night, and by the time that the residents of the ordinarily quiet village reached the scene of the commotion, here's what had happened. The truck hit one car, snapped off a telephone pole, and then pushed 3 other cars through the front of a saloon, which was unfortunately located directly in the path of the careening truck. You can imagine the surprise of the patrons of the saloon when they saw the front end of a new car coming in the front door toward them. By the time everything had quieted down, the highway was blocked, 3 cars were totally wrecked, and a large amount of damage was done to the building in which the bar was located. Several patrons of the place, quite used to seeing pink elephants and other phenomena, are reported to have made a quick exit through the side door
and
of the place
WKZL,
when their
the
unbelieving eyes saw an automobile on its way through the front door.
For a wide selection of the finest jewelry, including nationally advertised watches and brilliant diamonds,
near Lawton would probably be surprised to learn that they're landing on a vegetable garden. Yep, that's exactly what Edward Marks, proprietor of the field, has done with the field. He uses all the space between the runways, the area that's not touched by the planes, to grow almost 10 acres of wax beans during the summer. The Lawton Leader reported that Marks has harvested almost 8 tons of beans from the airfield this summer. Another old racket came up again last week, according to the Allegan News. Without mentioning the